We will be reading verses 13 through 26, but our main text starts at verse 22. But we'll be reading the whole, we want context here, and we'll see in the sermon why. So we'll start reading at verse 13 of Mark chapter 8. People of God, this is God's very word. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything, everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." And there ends the reading of God's word for us this morning. Well, as we enter our text this morning, we come to the last story in the Gospel of Mark before the very peak. And think of it, if you're going through the Gospel, there's a point at the top and things change after that. And that's where we are. A lot of people call this, what happens next is the continental divide of Mark. And if you've ever heard the continental divide, I remember the continental divide when we were driving to Yellowstone. It's been a while now since we've driven to Yellowstone, but when we went, you're going over the Rockies and you're on the highway and there's a sign on the side of the road that says you're passing over the Continental Divide. I thought, how cool is that? That at this point, it's probably not exact, but at that point, the water on the west goes to the Pacific and there all the rest of the water then goes to the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico. Like, this is the very spot that things change. Now in the Gospel of Mark, this is the place where things change. This is the last story on this side of the continental divide. And next week, Lord willing, we see the point. We see Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi. And though we don't look at that this week, I bring it up because the text is going to lead right into that. Both literally, because it's the next thing in our text, but it's what Jesus has been teaching the disciples this whole time. From chapter 1 all the way to this point in chapter 8, Jesus has been telling the disciples, showing them, teaching them who he is. And up to this point, they haven't got it, have they? They keep messing things up or thinking things that are wrong. We're going to see that this morning. You know, another thing that will stand out after the continental divide of Mark is that the focus changes. Right? So far in the Gospel of Mark, it's been preaching and teaching and healing all over the Galilee region, even outside of Galilee. And he's still going to do that. He'll still preach and teach and heal. But his focus has changed. His focus will be locked onto going to Jerusalem. And we know what happens when he gets to Jerusalem. But today we're still on this side of the divide. One more lesson before the shift. And that lesson really started last week. That's why I wanted to read the text again. I wanted it fresh in our minds. Because what we see in our main text this morning is an emphasis on sight with the blind man. Contrary to the blindness last week of the disciples. Right? The disciples were blind. They were hard of hearing. Their hearts were hard. It should be the other way around. Right? That the blindness is with the blind man. And the disciple should be the one seeing and hearing and all that Jesus is doing and understanding. But they haven't been. So Jesus really needs to teach them this one last lesson before they make that turn to Jerusalem. And Jesus wants to make it clear for the disciples where they are at in their vision of him. They need to know who Jesus is. So when we left off last week, we left off with that rebuke, remember? Jesus had to rebuke his disciples. Verse 18, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes you do not see, having ears you do not hear, that would hurt, wouldn't it? If Jesus said that to you, that would hurt. Jesus calls them out. At that moment, in the boat, the disciples were the blind and deaf ones. And what they needed was to be taken by the hand by Jesus to reveal to them who he really is. They need to see clearly. Even if it's been taken longer than they wanted or even Jesus wanted. And beloved, that should be encouraging to us, shouldn't it? That these men who have been with Jesus day after day after day still find it hard sometimes. Because even we, after we come to faith, there are still things, aren't there, that take us a little more time to understand, and that's okay. And for those of you who don't have faith this morning, if you're sitting here and you're listening to these words, Jesus is patient and kind and will take you by the hand, as we're going to see, and show you the goodness of God and make you see that he truly is the Son of God. So in our text, we're going to have 3 points this morning. And the first one is blind, just one word, blind. Point two is blurry. And finally, point three is beautifully clear. So blind, blurry, and beautifully clear. I try to get all the letters to match. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we all have B. Because, beloved, like I said, it's okay when we don't quite understand or we might be blurry on certain things. But we never want to stay there. We always want to seek Jesus. We always want to grab his hand so that we end up seeing things clear, just like the disciples are going to. So let's jump into our first point, blind, at verse 22. Then, so this is after the boat ride, he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So they were headed to Bethsaida when they left the Pharisees last week, which is east of Capernaum. But this is pretty much their home territory. This is their hometown of Capernaum. These towns are really close to each other. They understand where they are. They're going back to what's common to them, places they're familiar with. And the word Bethsaida, right, the town name in Hebrew, means the house of hunting for fish. The house of fishing, really, what we would say. That's what Bethsaida means, the house of fishing. That's where they go. You know, if you look, if you read, through the Bible, and if there's ever Beth in front of the town, it's always house. Or like, you know, if you have Bethel, if you're at Bethel, house of God, Bethlehem, house of bread. This is house of hunting for fish. And that's where they went. And once again, the crowd recognizes Jesus, and they should hear, because he's been here a lot. They see Jesus and the disciples get off the boat, and they instantly bring somebody to him that needs healing. And it wasn't, one of the things we should pick up on is it wasn't that it was like free health care for them. It wasn't like, well, Jesus is just going to do it, so we'll start making a line for him to heal people. They begged him to heal this man. They begged him. Jesus, please heal our friend. And Jesus being Jesus, he agrees. But look how he does it. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Now, just a few verses ago in the last beginning of chapter 8, Jesus did the same thing with the deaf man, didn't he? The deaf and mute man. He took him away from the crowd. And we can assume that the disciples would follow Jesus. Why? Everybody already knows what Jesus can do. Well, one of the reasons we think of when we hear these stories of where Jesus is almost hiding now. He's trying to get away from the crowds, right? The crowds get so big. Maybe there's some Pharisees in the crowd and he doesn't want to deal with the Pharisees anymore. No more arguing. We got to go out of town to do these healings. But it's in Bethsaida. And if you ever read through the Gospels, which I know you do, if you read through them recently, that name might have popped up in your head and you might think, oh, wait a second. You know what's gone on in Bethsaida before? Maybe this is the reason they went out of town. In the Gospel of Luke, earlier in Jesus' ministry, because we're getting towards the end now, even though we're only in chapter 8, Jesus said this. He said, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. That's where he's at. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the judgment day than you. Ouch. And when the Son of God puts a woe on your city, on your town, that's a bad thing. I would probably get up and move out of that town just in case. So maybe that's why Jesus took this man out of town. Maybe he thought, you know what, this town just isn't worthy of it anymore to see the power of God at work, the power of the kingdom of God. And he's there, he pulls this man out of town. Do this healing. What are the disciples thinking? Okay, Jesus doesn't want to be in the crowd. He's tired of the Pharisees. And Jesus is doing all of this on purpose, beloved. But Jesus is using this whole situation to teach not only the man that's blind, but the disciples. He wanted to show them that the disciples, were spiritually blind, and they needed to have their eyes open. That's what Jesus has pretty much been doing the whole Gospel of Mark so far. Sometimes he gently leads the disciples by the hand. Last week he didn't gently do that, did he? But he wants this healing to be an object lesson for the disciples. He wants them to know that they need to be nudged back on that path. And I don't know about you, but I need that as well sometimes. I need these object lessons. I need Jesus to show me when things are blurry that I'm not quite where I need to be. And I hope you need that too. I hope you don't think that I have everything under control. I can see everything clear. We don't want to deceive ourselves. So in our story this morning, once they're far enough away from the crowd, and you have Jesus and the blind man and the disciples, Jesus heals this man. Continue with verse 23. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And you should be thinking, whoa, Jesus spit on his eyes. Yes. Right? The text literally has that. Before, when we read, when he healed the other man, it didn't have the preposition where he spit, what he spit on. Now it says literally in the text, he spit on his eyes. The text never tells us why he uses spit here. And we could probably come up with all these crazy ideas. Maybe you've heard some. But one thing that we really need to know is that it wasn't the spit that healed this man, was it? Because there's two times where he needs to do what? He needs to touch him. Both occasions have Jesus touching this man. Think about that. We've talked about this. The touch of the Savior. How important that is. You know, there's all these references of Jesus touching people in the Gospel of Mark, hasn't there been? Think about the leper. Right? Think about the little girl he takes up by the hand. The other blind, the other deaf, mute. Right? The woman with the flow of blood, she touches him. That touch of the Savior is the healing thing. If you're reading through Scripture and you're wondering where all this comes from, you just got to go back to the Old Testament. Right? That idea of touching or laying on of hands. Right? Think about that from an Old Testament perspective. What were the main purposes of that? There were three. The dedication of a sacrifice. The priest would touch it. Right? When they would install the Levitical priest, they would lay their hands on them. And very few times in the Old Testament, you would see the laying on of hands for a blessing. So this is in their minds, with this touch of Christ. Think about that dedication of the sacrifice touch. One commentary I was reading said this: the primary purpose of laying on of hands in the Old Testament was to transfer either the animal or the person from the unclean to the sacred by consecrating them to God. But when Jesus lays his hands on people, the effect is rather the opposite. The unclean is no longer elevated, but rather by bestowing God's holy and healing presence on the ordinary, common, and even sinful people, Jesus brings the sacred to the unclean. And I love that. I love that. He brings the sacred, God himself, to the unclean. And in our story, we go from blind to blurry with the touch of Jesus. End of verse 23. Jesus asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And in the next few verses, verses 23 to 25, we're going to see something that was missing from that last story with the disciples. Remember, they couldn't see. They were blind. But in these three verses, Mark brings up seeing nine times. 9 instances of bringing up of seeing in just these 3 verses. Think of that. Jesus is really trying to get this lesson across. Now think if you're the disciples for a moment, and what they've just been through on the boat, being rebuked by Christ. And you're watching Jesus heal this blind man, and then Jesus asks him this question, do you see anything? Do you see anything? How many of their minds went back to that boat ride? When Jesus said, do you still not see? Like their stomach probably just sunk. Oh. Do you see anything? And look at the blind man's response. I see men like trees walking. Now, have you ever asked yourself, why did Jesus only go halfway? Why did he only go from blind to blurry here? Was Jesus able to do this healing in one shot? Was this one too hard for Jesus? No, of course not. Right, Jesus is the Son of God. He could have healed this man with his words if he wanted to. But he wanted to show the disciples where they were at that very moment. Do you see anything? See, when it came to spiritual matters, Jesus was telling them, you're not quite there. You're not quite there yet. You don't see things clearly, but you will. Things were still blurry, maybe even very blurry for some. And we know one of them was still very blind to Christ. You know, I saw this story blurry for a long time. And I'm going to throw myself under the bus here. See, when I first became a Christian, probably I was just getting out of high school, so you know where my mind's at. I used to think that Jesus used this opportunity to laugh with his disciples. That he healed this man halfway so that everybody would laugh at his answer. But Jesus asked them, what do you see? And he says, I see men walking around like trees. And everyone goes, Jesus, you're so funny. You only healed this guy halfway. They weren't laughing at him. They were laughing with him. But as I got older, Jesus took me by the hand and gently rebuked me and opened my eyes a little more clearly. Why did I bring that up? Why did I tell you that story? Because I think we've all been there. I think we've all been there. I think we've all been to that spot where Jesus has taken us by the hand to help us see things more clearly. Where spiritual understanding didn't come instantly. But when you become a Christian, it didn't come with me instantly. Or maybe even right now, you're sitting there and things are just a little bit blurry. You know, beloved, I think on some things, we're going to see blurry until we get to glory. Not all things, but there's some things. Now, the best part is that on most things, Jesus gives us that second touch. He grabs us by the hand so we can see things beautifully clear. And that's where you want to be. Jesus taking you by the hand so you can see these clear things. Let's finish our text this morning. Verse 25. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now, see, we don't want to use this text as a proof text for second blessing theology. No, that is not what Jesus is doing here. That's blurry seeing, not clear. See, the whole point of this lesson is for the disciples to finally see Jesus beautifully clear. beloved, for us to see things beautifully clear. Right? Not second blessing theology. Sinclair Ferguson writes this on this verse. He says, if the second touch symbolizes a definite experience for the believer, it would be that of glorification, when we no longer see only fragments of Christ, but his full glory revealed before us. We don't get that until glory. I can't wait for that. I hope you can't wait either. But this isn't it. But beloved, Jesus is the one who keeps on opening our eyes so that we could see him more clearly through our whole lives. See, the disciples had blurry spiritual vision, not only of the kingdom of God, but of Jesus himself. Right? They just couldn't get who Jesus was. They had ideas, but it was blurry. And here is the thing I think we need to remember. Like the blind man, the disciples who were just told that their eyes and ears didn't work can be made to see and hear. And that doesn't stop with the disciples. If you're sitting here right now hearing the words of God, he's working on it. The Holy Spirit is working on you so that you don't stay blind or blurry, but that you can see and hear as well. He continues to work in our lives. We too are being made to see and hear and to walk with Jesus as he takes us by the hand. I love that. Takes us by the hand. Remember, when we close every service, what do I say? We never go alone. The Lord leads. And as we go through the Gospel of Mark, the disciples, they're still going to have a little blurry. They're going to see things blurry still. It's not always going to be beautifully clear. The blurriness will reappear from time to time. And guess what? It will reappear for us. We never want to think that since we're saved, and maybe you've been walking with the Lord for 60, 70 years, that you see everything clear. We constantly want to be learning on Jesus. We want to be leaning on him, seeing where he's leading. Think about this. Next week, we hear Peter confess who Christ is, right? Seeing Jesus a little bit more clearly. And yet, this happens to him. Many years from then, the Apostle Paul had to rebuke Peter in front of a ton of people because he had stopped seeing clearly. See, we should always be praying. We should always be seeking the Lord to give us clear vision. Because if the Apostle Peter can slowly have his sight go from clear to blurry, oof, we have to watch out, don't we? I want to close with this. It's a prayer the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Listen to these words. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That's seeing clearly, isn't it? That's the prayer to see clearly. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That you may know what the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. That is a clear sight of what God wants to do in your lives, beloved. What was the question that Jesus asked the man again? What do you see? I hope that's our prayer as well. That God would give us perfectly clear sight. Because, beloved, like I said, it's okay that we don't understand, or we might be blurry on things, but we never want to stay there. We always want Jesus to take us by the hand so that we end up beautifully clear. Amen. Let's pray. Father God,